That is a scene from the movie Moby Dick, the classic tale of masculine obsession and the lusty allure of the sea. Whether you've read the massive novel or seen the film, you probably know its author, Herman Melville. Though he conjured up the story not far from here, out in the Berkshires in Pittsfield, much of his personal life has been a mystery. But now, New England author Jay Perini has a new novel about Melville that's part fact, part fiction, part love story. WBUR's Andrea Shea reports on why it might be too racy for some people to handle.
Call him Jay Perini to write his new book, The Passages of H.M. This Middlebury College English professor spent hours in Pittsfield at Arrowhead. It's a museum now, but Melville lived in this farmhouse for 13 years with his children and long-suffering wife, Lizzie.
This is where Herman and Lizzie slept, and the babies would sleep with them. And then there's the study.
Where Melville wrestled his white whale with ink and paper. As it turns out, Melville is Perini's Moby Dick. His quest? To understand how Melville's real-life whaling adventures fueled works like Moby Dick and Billy Budd.
I've spent my whole life reading these wonderful novels, stories of his poetry. I sort of chased him around the world, visiting spots where he visited. I wanted to somehow inhabit his soul. And the best way to do that is to write a novel, because writing a novel, you can be Herman Melville.
I was Moby Dick, that tore my soul and body until they bled into each other. I'll follow him around the Horn, and around the Norway maelstrom, and around perdition's flame. Before I give him up.
So, like Captain Ahab, Perini is clearly obsessed with Herman Melville, who we know today as the author of a great American novel. But his life was tragic. He was a loner, dejected, drank heavily, and was perhaps manic depressive. Perini built his fictional Melville using real letters, journals, and biographies. Now, Perini has written straightforward biographies before on Robert Frost and John Steinbeck. Not this time.
If I were a straightforward literary scholar, I think I would hate me.
Why?
Well, one of the things I assume in this novel is that Herman Melville is a bisexual. I mean, if you read his work carefully, from the beginning, Taipei, right on through Billy Budd, is just suffused with lovely homoerotic sensations.
To make his point, Perini reads a pretty tame passage from Billy Budd.
Though our handsome sailor had as much of masculine beauty as one can expect to see anywhere. Nevertheless, like the beautiful woman in one of Hawthorne's minor tales.
For Perini, it's no accident that Hawthorne was on Melville's mind when he wrote that.
I hate to say this, but I think he fell head over heels in love with Nathaniel Hawthorne, who had just brought out The Scarlet Letter.
In reality, Hawthorne and Melville were neighbors. Hawthorne coached Melville as he wrote Moby Dick, and Melville dedicated Moby Dick to Hawthorne.
He worshipped the writing of Nathaniel Hawthorne, and let's put it frankly, Hawthorne was gorgeous.
Melville's crush on Hawthorne has been studied, so this isn't news. But Perini couldn't resist pushing it further. Take one scene in the novel where Hawthorne pays a visit.
He comes in full of snow, takes off his coonskin cap and his gloves and his big furry coat, stomps up here in the study, comes and visits Melville, pounds on his door. Herman, are you in there? And they spent the whole night talking in this room.
It's strongly suggested, though, that they did more than just talk.
I was sort of waiting to be shown inside the bedroom door.
Chris Benfey, an English professor at Mount Holyoke College, recently reviewed Perini's novel in the New Republic and wanted to see exactly what Melville and Hawthorne
were doing in there one night in Western Massachusetts. But it's true that in recent Melville scholarship, there is a fairly shared assumption that Melville's feelings about Hawthorne were intense.
Even so, Benvey says plenty of scholars are bummed out by talk of Melville's sexuality.
I've been in academic conferences when Melville scholars almost came to blows with one another. To have our national writer, the writer of the great American novel, be a gay or bisexual man is something that some scholars still find difficult to accept.
Lifelong Melville biographer Herschel Parker is one of them.
The problem, Andrea, for me, I was raised as a prude. I've never told a dirty joke in my life. I've never bragged about a sexual conquest. And I find it very hard to think about how Melville talked with other men about sexual matters. And I work at it because we've got a certain amount of evidence.
While Melville's homoerotic impulses are established, Parker says whether he acted on them is not. And he says it's highly unlikely that Hawthorne had reciprocal feelings for Melville. He calls Perini's novel a fantasy, and Perini buys that. The biographer and the novelist agree on one more thing. This new book might stimulate interest in Melville, and that's Perini's motivation. But what would Melville think?
I don't doubt there'd be times when Herman Melville would be reading my novel, when he wouldn't take that quill pen off the desk right there and want to plunge it into my artery.
But Perini reminds me how Melville himself blended fact and fiction, and he got a lot of flack for it in his day. For the record, J. Perini's new novel never goes too far, and plenty is left to our imaginations.
He rises!
For WBUR, call me Andrea Shea.